Such a wonderful thing when the people of God can come together to fellowship one another and the God of heaven, to show our love for him, to commune together and remember the sacrifice of his son for us. We are blessed extraordinarily in times like this to be together to worship God. I want to thank you for your presence, especially if you happen to be visiting with us, but it's just great to see everyone. And I think we've grown to appreciate these times even more and more in the difficult days that have been behind us and may still lie ahead of us. When we think about all of the trouble that's in the world today, the sickness that continues to spread in our land and affect even some of our loved ones and brothers and sisters in Christ, when we think about the social unrest that continues to rage in our land as we're going through a time of tremendous change, and yet I want to tell you that God is holy. He is not touched by sickness. He's not sick. He's not going to be sick. He is separate from us. He is not going to be filled with hate. He is love. And in his holiness and his love, I think we can find comfort and a reason and a way for us to live in this world. I appreciate so very much the song that Richard just led, Take Time to Be Holy. I appreciate it for a couple of reasons. One is that it was my daddy's favorite song, or one of them. My dad wasn't much of a song leader. He would tell you that, but I can't tell you how many times when he got up to lead a song, it would be Take Time to Be Holy. And I heard him singing it often, day by day, as we lived together. So I love that song. And the sentiment of it, the words of it, very much go along with the lesson that we'll be studying together in these next few minutes. From the very beginning, God's intention for us, his children, was that we reflect his holiness and his love. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So before the foundation of the world, God's intention was that we would be holy and that we would be people who exist in love, in his love and in love for one another. Our purpose then in life very much is to reflect his love and his holiness. In order to do that, we need to understand some things about his love and his holiness. We'll be talking about that some. We'll be talking about how that should affect us and how then that should be reflected in us as we live our lives from day to day. Now, I want to start with just a few verses in sort of rapid fire, but to notice with you some of these concepts as they're presented pretty succinctly in a number of passages. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So practicing righteousness, doing the right thing, which is part of holiness, and loving your brother, that's what identifies you as a child of God. Here, we are to be his children, born of him, emulating him, reflecting him. How do we do that? Righteousness and love. You can see that in this passage. In 1 John 2 and verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. Well, how did he walk? How did Jesus walk in this world? In holiness and love. 1 Peter 1 and verses 15 and 16. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Pretty straightforward, right? He called us, he's holy. He wants us to be holy as well. We who were created in his image. And then later on in that same chapter, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, listen to this carefully and watch these words. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we who have been born again have started a new life. We are, because we have been born again now, children of God. That's what being born again is all about, becoming a true child of God. We have, or are to have, His spiritual DNA within us, and we're to live that life as children of God. But notice some of the words in these verses. The words purified, pure, and sincere. We have purified our souls in obeying the truth. The word purified, a Greek word is hagiazo, and it comes from the same word from which we get holy, sanctified, and saint. They all have the same root. And those words carry with them the concept of being, first of all, pure, and secondly, separated. So when we talk about God being holy, we're talking about Him being pure. All of the stains and the sin and the sickness of this world do not stain God, for He is holy. He is pure. He is separate from all of that. If we are to be holy, then we must be like Him, as we're saying. But notice that we have purified our souls. How? In obeying the truth. We have cleansed ourselves through the blood of His Son from sin, from the stain of this world. Therefore, we are to, in sincere love, and the word sincere means pure, unmixed with anything. It's not defiled at all. Again, it's a holy thing. It's a pure thing. In sincere love of the brethren, we're to love one another fervently with a pure heart. You see the words purity and sincerity, all of those related to holiness. And love is to be expressed in holiness, that is, in purity, in separateness from the things of this world. So, 1 Peter 1, verses 22 and 23 say a lot to us about our theme for this lesson. And then 1 John 4 and verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, because as He is, so are we in this world. And in these passages and many more, we're seeing God's holiness, God's love put into us, and then we reflecting that in the way that we live. There is a direct connection between the holiness of God and the love of God. It's a connection that is to be reflected in our own holiness and in the purity of our love for Him and for one another. I want to talk a little bit now about His holiness, the majesty of the holiness of God. Holiness is at the very core of the essence of God. It is an essential aspect of His character. If I were to ask you, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of God? Everybody in your mind, answer that question. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of God? Most of us would probably say love. It's not a bad answer, for God is love. But for thousands of years, human beings have sought the answer to the question, who is God and what is God like? God has revealed who He is and what He is like to us in Scripture, in His Word, and through the incarnation of His Son, Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Jesus is the declaration, the explanation of who God is to mankind. So God has shown us what He's like. Because we have been created in His image, there are certain aspects of His being that are meant to be reflected in us. And that's sort of one of the basic premises of our lesson. So we've talked about love, we've talked about holiness. What other things can we think of that are part of God's essential being, that are part of His eternal character? Somebody might say, well, God is holy, God is loving, but God is also just. God is also good. In fact, He defines goodness. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is faithful. God is truth. God is patient. God is wise. And we could go on and on, talk about attributes and essentialities of the character of God. So if you take all of those words, or any of those words, and you have a sentence like this, how should the knowledge that God is blank, and fill that in with one of those words, holy, loving, just, righteous, merciful, faith, whatever word you want to choose, how is the fact that God is that going to change my life? The life of a being who's created in His image. Here are things that if God is like that, then I should be like that. If I am His child. Of all of the attributes, of all of the essential qualities of God, the one that is repeated most in Scripture, you might be surprised to learn, is not love, it's not faithfulness, it's not justice, it's not mercy. All of those things are things that describe God. But the one thing that God is said to be more than He's said to be anything else is holy. The word holy occurs over 500 times in the Bible. The word sanctify, which means to make holy, occurs over 200 times. 29 times in the Bible, the name of God itself is said to be holy. His holy name. The Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, is called the Holy One of Israel 31 times in the Old Testament. And that's just the beginning of the references that we have in Scripture to the holiness of God. We're familiar with the passage in Isaiah 6 and another in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, where beings around the throne of God, day and night, forever, declare Him to be holy, holy, holy. This superlative. We've made the point that in the Hebrew language, there was no word for holiest. In fact, there are no superlatives at all in the Hebrew language. If you wanted to say something was the best of something or the most of something, you didn't say it quite in the way we do in English. You just repeated the word. So holy would be, well, here's somebody that's holy. Holy, holy would be somebody's more holy. Holy, holy, holy would be, here's somebody who's holiest. That's said of God, it's said of twice, it's said of Him twice. Nothing else is said of anybody else three times, but it's said of Him three times. Holy, holy, holy. That superlative. That's God. He is the essence, the definition, the very description of holiness. God's holiness distinguishes Him from all other beings. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2, no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. Exodus 15 and verse 11, the English Standard Version says, who is like the Lord among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? God is holy like nothing else and nobody else is holy. And we were made in His image. One of the great ways for me to help me conceptualize this, and I hope it's helpful to you, is to think of God as He's described often as light. Because light is that which is pure, untarnished by darkness. And in that way, it's a pretty good description of what it means to be holy, a metaphorical description. In 1 John 1 and verse 5, John says about God that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So He is holiness in His pure, in its purest form. Jesus came into this world. He said of Himself, I am the light of the world. He shone as a light into this world. Jesus' life was the light of men, John chapter 1 and verse 4 says. Jesus' light exposes the darkness of humanity and the evil of sin among human beings. John 3 and verse 19, this is the condemnation that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light. The world doesn't long for holiness. God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ illuminate heaven itself. The description that we have in Revelation 21 and verse 23 is that the city, the heavenly city, had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. So here is at least a little bit of the nature of the holiness and the majesty of the holiness of God. God's love has provided you and me a way to be holy, a way to partake in His holiness. His loving sacrifice, sending His Son to die on the cross, that is what makes us holy, makes it possible for us to, the stains, the impurities in our lives to be washed away and to be cleansed. In Ephesians chapter 5, here's a passage that we look at a lot when we're talking about relationships with husbands and wives, and sometimes we look at Christ's relationship to the church, but we don't often study the details of that very well. But I want you to look at Ephesians 5, especially in verse 25, where it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her." So Christ loved the church. That's you and I, those who are children of God this morning. Christ loved us, and He gave Himself for us. For what purpose or to what end? What does it say? "He loved us and gave Himself for us," for her, the church, "that He might sanctify and cleanse." What do we say the word sanctify means? To make holy. Jesus loved us, and He died for us to make us holy. "He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Realize that's talking about the church, the body of the saved, in the aggregate, in the collective. But we are part of that, each of us individually. Jesus died to cleanse us from our unholiness, from our spots, from our wrinkles, from our blemishes, in a spiritual sense. And His love motivates us then to purity. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." To even aspire to being a child of God, this one who is majestic in holiness and powerful and wise and great in such love, to even aspire to be a child of His, I don't know, it's a little much. "But what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should truly be called the children of God." And then in verse 3, John says, "Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." That word pure relates to holiness. That if our hope is to be a child of God and to see Jesus in the end, we're going to purify ourselves and be just pure like He is. Just as He is pure. His love motivates us not only to purity, but also to imitate His love. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, brethren, be imitators of God as dear children." That's what we've been talking about, being children of God, having God's DNA in us, living spiritually as reflections of Him, just as your children are reflections of you. I have, as many of you know, an adopted child and two children that we had naturally. They all have aspects of their mom and dad in them because we raised them. I have one child who's can't get away from my DNA. I mean, just doesn't matter where she goes. "Oh, you're Steve Klein's daughter." You know, that's just because she's got that. We are children of God. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. as Christ also loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. His love motivates us to love. His love inspires us to love. We love Him because He first loved us, and then we'll turn that love to our fellow man. His love makes us holy, makes us understand love to such an extent that it qualifies us for an inheritance in eternity with Him. With Him who is holy, with Him who is light, with Him who is love. In 1 John, or rather in the book of Colossians, I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul's talking about this process by which God has brought us into relationship with Him and promised us this eternal salvation. He says that we need to be giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Think about that phrase again, saints. Those are holy ones. That's what that word means. The holy ones in light, in the light of His holiness. We have been qualified. We sit here this morning as those knowing the sin of our lives, knowing the times that we have stained ourselves in impurity, in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Knowing that that's been true in our lives, and yet do we also know that God loved us, and through His love, He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's the power of God's holiness and love. He's qualified us to be there. It says He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. So when we talk about our holiness, what we're talking about is two things, and we've expressed this before in lessons, but just as a quick review. God, because of our sins, makes us holy through the blood of His Son. He washes us of those sins. That makes us holy. Somebody says, well, if that was the end of the matter, no problem. But we know that's not the end of the matter because we're washed in the blood of His Son, and then we go on living, and we might and do sin after that. So what about that? Well, we need do our best to not sin after that. It's one thing that 1 John 2 tells us. But if we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. So even after we've had our sins washed away and become holy in the blood of the Lamb, we may sin after that. The blood of Christ is still there, still accessible, still able to keep us cleansed. But the other thing is, the other end of this is, particularly from that time forward when we've been cleansed of our sins and made holy, we need to strive to stay holy. We must seek to do holy things, to live holy lives, to be pure ourselves, as God showed us through His Son. So that brings us maybe to the core of the lesson for just the next few minutes. As we think about how to go about reflecting God's holiness and love in our lives, can I kind of back up a little bit and say that we got to start by standing in awe of the holiness of God. That's where all of this starts. If we don't get that, we can't really proceed any further. We can't appreciate what holiness is. We don't understand His love if we can't start with the concept of His holiness. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, God told Moses in the burning bush passage, He says, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." When we approach God, we're standing on holy ground. He makes it holy. And God said, "Don't come near here. Don't take your shoes off. The place where you're standing is holy ground." To recognize His holiness is to acknowledge in part our own unholiness by comparison. Go now with me to the book of Isaiah. I alluded to this passage earlier. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 that he saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. One with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried out to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." In verse 5, Isaiah, taking all of this in, says, "Woe, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. What in the world am I doing here? How can a person who is unclean by his own admission even see this? My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then the record says, "One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away.'" God is the one that purified Isaiah, that sanctified him to speak his word. God is the one who sanctifies us to reflect him in this world and to be with him for eternity. God is holy beyond our comprehension for sure. But it is an appreciation for that, an awe of that, that helps us to be holy. You see how it helped Isaiah? The fear of God, which is so often addressed in the Bible, God wants people to fear Him. It is our duty on earth to fear God and keep His commandments. That's what living is about. To fear God is not so much to tremble at Him because of the prospect of punishment. That's an aspect of it, but probably the smaller aspect if you look throughout Scripture. The fear of God has more to do with an awesome respect for His majesty and holiness. Like Isaiah felt when he saw the holiness of God and His majesty, he just drops down and said, "Woe is me." That's the kind of fear we need to have for the God of heaven. We need to focus, like Isaiah did, not upon His wrath, but upon His majestic holiness, His transcendent glory. It is, I think, impossible to devote one's heart to God in holiness and love without this kind of fear of God. Listen to Paul say it in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having these promises, he says, "Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Got that? We want to be completely holy. We do it, must do it, in the fear of God, with that same sort of awe of His holiness that Isaiah had. The respect we pay to God should be exponentially greater than the respect we may have given to our earthly fathers. I made a comment about my earthly father when I got up this morning. He's a man I greatly respected and still respect in my life. He was a good man. He was a Christian. He disciplined me in a lot of ways. Some of them hurt more than others. He trained me in the Word of God. He trained me in what it meant to obey without question. He trained me in that a lot. Hebrews 12 and verse 9 says this. We have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, that is our human fathers, for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But He, our heavenly Father, chastens us for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. That's why we need to respect God. That's why we need to fear God. That's why we need to be in awe of God, to understand His holiness and what He is trying to get us to become. I will never forget the conversation I had with my dad one time. I was a young teenager, probably 13, 14 years old. And I've told this about my dad before. He liked to work me. He really liked to work me. And I can remember being out in the yard with him many, many times, just this chore and that chore and everything. And I didn't always enjoy all of that. It was really good for me, though. But we were out, and we'd been working quite a while one day, and I was leaning on my shovel, and he was leaning on his. And he says to me, Steve, are you ever going to be the man your dad is? You might think, well, that's sort of an arrogant thing to ask your son. But I understood. He was trying to make a man out of me. A man like he was. God is trying to make you like Him. My father's a good man, but my heavenly Father is great beyond any words that we can use to express it. And He's trying to make us like Him. The stains of this world, the problems that we see in this world, the evil that infects so much of humanity, the lack of love, the hate that we see in graphic display all around us, virtually all the time, is not the image of God. For the image of God is holy. That's what God is trying to make us into. And so, we're to be pursuing His holiness. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, we alluded to before. As He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. It's written, be holy for I am holy. And then Hebrews 12, 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Two things we need to be pursuing right now in this world are peace and holiness. Are you pursuing those two things? Peace with God, peace with your fellow man, and holiness, a purity, a separateness from all that's going on in the world that is of evil intent, that is the work of the devil, that involves hate. Pursue peace and holiness in your life. Love others in holiness. That's what we saw in 1 Peter 1:22. We've purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love. Love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. We cannot abide in God's holy light unless we love one another. As we've said, holiness and love are inextricably linked together. He who says he's in the light, 1 John 2 and verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And when we are feeling and expressing hate for our fellow man, for brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not in the holy light of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. We must love as God loves, in holiness. Not our version, not the world's version of what love is supposed to be, not our concept of some better felt than told sort of love, but a sincere willingness to want the best for our fellow man, to want their salvation, and to be willing to sacrifice ourselves in order for them to have it. Our love for each other must exemplify His unconditional love for us. And it only comes from hearts that desire and pursue His holiness. Thank you for your good attention this morning. I have just a couple of other things to say. Do you remember the first time you heard your own voice recorded and played back to you? Was that a funny feeling? Probably for most of us it was. You know, is that what I really sound like? Is that me? Turn that off. I can't stand that. Or maybe the first time somebody took a video of you and you're looking at, am I really that fat? You know, is my hair messed up like that? All of those things that you think about. Is my smile that goofy? Whatever it might be. And you wonder, is that really me? I wonder what God says, what He thinks, when He looks at you and He looks at me. He's looking at this picture. And He's saying, is that my image? Is that me? I think sometimes we're unrecognizable to God as His image. I'm afraid there are a lot of people in this world who claim to be Christians who are just faking it when it comes to trying to reflect the image of God. They end up not representing Him at all. Not representing the living truth that He is. It's as if they've been baptized in embalming fluid. They're joyless, unloving, and unholy. The very opposite of the description that the Apostle Peter gave us of Christians who have been born again, who are loving one another fervently with a pure heart. If I'm claiming to be a child of God this morning, I want to be real. I want to be genuine. I want to be fervent. A true reflection of who God is. Does your life, does my life, reflect a God who is holy, holy, holy? We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here is our quest. Here is God's eternal intention, that we reflect Him in this world, in His superlative holiness, and in His steadfast love. One day, we'll stand before Him. One day, we'll hope and pray that He'll be able to recognize us as His children. Could He recognize you as His child this morning? Might be somebody here who would become a child of God by being born again, naming the name of Jesus, turning away from sin, giving your life to the Lord, confessing His name, being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. We'd love to help you do that. Whatever you need, please come while we stand, while we sing.